On episode 472 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Dr. Mike Fedewa and Dr. Mike Esko and discuss their app, Made Health. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/472. Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go. I still have a few slots open for my 12-week weight loss program. If you're over 40, have 15 or more pounds to lose, and you're tired of yo-yo dieting, and you know you need guidance, support, and accountability, this program is for you. The results for the people that are in the program so far have been amazing. I'm really, really proud of what they've accomplished, and I know it can do the same for you. Email me, alan@40plusfitnesspodcast.com, and I'll give you some details. Again, that's alan@40plusfitnesspodcast.com, and email me today. There's only a couple slots left. I want you in this program. It's going to do some great things for you. Join me today. Raz, how are you doing this week?
Good, Alan. How are you today?
I'm tired.
Okay.
Well, it's a busy week. We're on the verge of opening the gym. We have a health inspection coming on Thursday, so we went there today to meet with them at the hospital. And you know, they gave us some general guidance of things they would expect to see when they get here. You know, so I had to have a pest control guy come out, and you know, we've got to make a few phone calls, make sure everything's in order, print a bunch of signs so everybody knows 2 meters, wear your mask, mm-hmm. You know, clean your equipment, please clean yes. your equipment. And then my employees have their rules, and so you know, they'll know exactly what to do, and there'll be checklists, and so it changes pretty much everything on how we used to run a gym. You know, so we've got to kind of rewrite and redo the entire way everything works. So I've been on that since first thing this morning. And then it's all kind of problematic from perspective of over this weekend, I lost my phone.
Oh boy.
Well, you know, we were out having dinner with some friends, and on the way back, and I knew I was wearing swim trunks. And so I knew, you know, that pocket was a little loose. And so if you think you can drop your phone and you're riding in a golf cart in the jungle, you will.
Oh, no.
And then other cars and trucks will run over it. And then we'll get a heavy rain because it's Panama.
Right.
And so you get the phone back 2 days later and it's toast.
What a pain.
And there's no way to really buy an iPhone here on the island. And I'm kind of Apple-centric, you know, with my skill sets these days. And I really don't want to learn anything new as far as equipment. So I'll have to wait a few days before someone can bring me an iPhone from the city.
Wow. My goodness. That's such a hassle.
Yeah. So, you know, things I could have just done got on, you know, we use WhatsApp down here. So it's got on WhatsApp and took care of like 5 or 6 different things. I'm like, okay, now I've got to get on my wife's phone and try to make this phone call and then try to use her WhatsApp and message someone. So it's been an interesting week, but we're hopeful Thursday will get here. We'll have an opportunity to get that inspection. I intend to pass the inspection. I really only have one thing that's outside my control. And I'm hopeful that I can get the people that are responsible for that to play nice for at least a day.
Oh, goodness.
And then we'll see what'll happen.
Good. My fingers are crossed for you. And I'm sure all your clients are anxious to get back to the gym. So
and Tammy and I get asked, and my employees get asked every single day, when are you open? When are you opening? When are you opening? I'm like, February 1st is my go live day. That's the date I have in my heart that I want to reopen this, because we closed March 14th of last year. So I don't quite want to go the whole year, but
yeah. Well, fingers crossed, everything goes smoothly.
Yeah. Well, we're close. We're really, really close.
Oh, good.
How are things up there?
snowy. Snowy and cold.
Is this, but is this that part of the song, the weather outside is frightful?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah, but it is pretty. I figure if it's going to be cold, it might as well be snow and make it look all pretty. So yeah, it's good. Still getting my runs in. On the treadmill when it's icy and sketchy, but outside on the trails when I can. So it's still good.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to have an interesting conversation. I'll admit straight up, yeah, we're talking about iPhones and losing iPhones and realizing actually how much I use them, because I didn't actually think I used them that much because, you know, Facebook will, the iPhone will send you a message each week to tell you your usage. And my daily usage on my phone is typically less than an hour. You know, I do most of the things I need to do for my work and everything else on a computer. I do very little on a phone, but that 1 hour is important stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I'll admit I love getting a new gadget, a new iPhone app, and I'll play with it for a little period of time, and then I kind of get bored with stuff like that. But this one is one that I could see myself using for myself. I could see myself using it with my clients because it's going to give us data that is a better health marker of data than we would get by stepping on the scale. So I am a fan of data, and this phone will help collect that data. So I think you're going to like this conversation.
All right.
Our guests today are faculty at the University of Alabama, where they study body fat and performance. Today, we're going to talk about their new app, Made Health. With no further ado, here's Dr. Mike Fedewa and Dr. Mike Esko. Dr. Fedewa, Dr. Esko, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. Now, you reached out to me and you have an app. And, you know, I'm a big fan of tools that give us information, tools that help us be successful. There's a lot of fitness apps out there. There's a lot of health apps out there. And some of them are really, really good and some of them are not so good. But I looked around at your app and did a lot of deep diving into how the app worked, what you guys are doing, some of the research that you've done. And I really like the Made Health and Fitness app and what it's able to do for people that are looking to lose body fat and get healthy.
Thanks. I mean, we like it too. We've been in the tech world, I guess, for about a year and a half through development and beta testing, and now our launch in October. So it's been a wild ride, and I think we're a little bit different than some of the other app companies. We really want to deliver, you know, a tool that has research grade accuracy, and I think that puts us in a unique position where we're very concerned that the numbers that are coming from the app and from our system are as accurate or comparable to what you would get in a clinic or in a lab. So that's where we want to be. So that means a lot to us. Thank you.
Now, you know, most of the time I'm sitting there and a client will either come into my gym here in Bocas or they'll contact me online. And the thing that will come up will be, I want to lose weight. And I'm like, okay, how much weight do you think you want to lose and why do you want to lose it? And we start getting into those types of things. And I really wish we had never used weight as a measurement, because what they want is they want to be a particular size. That's what they really want. When they want to fit into a particular size dress or jeans. And I tell them, if you weighed 700 pounds, would you really care? You know, if you were in a size 2, and they say no. And I saw this meme the other day that said, you know, if you were 200 pounds on Earth and you went to Mars, you'd weigh 76 pounds. So you don't have a weight problem. You got a planet problem.
There it is right there. We got to move.
Now, there's a very particular reason why human beings have body fat. Can we kind of go through some of the things that actually are good about body fat?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you want to go all the way back to caveman, to prehistoric days, I mean, body fat has a very essential function. It's a storage site for extra calories. And so that was good. It's always good to have extra calories around when you don't know when your next meal is coming from. And so if we're, you know, during times where food is readily available and we can eat kind of to our fullness and store some extra calories. Maybe, you know, during times when the next meal is kind of inconsistent or you don't know where it's coming from, you have that extra reserve of calories that you can fall back on so that you don't starve and you don't die. And that's a really good function of fat. The other really good function of fat, if you think from an evolutionary perspective, is, you know, temperature regulation. That's really good, right? I mean, now we have houses and homes that are climate controlled and we have clothes that can keep us warm. And, you know, probably most of us hang out somewhere between 65 and 75 degrees, you know, in the house or in the car. And so, you know, if we didn't have that luxury, we would need that extra layer of insulation to help keep us warm. And so those are two really, really good, very essential functions to survival. And it provides extra padding around all of our vital organs. That's really good. But fat, adipose tissue, physiologically has a number of functions that actually you create a ton of hormones and different cell signalings on a molecular level that have very important purposes physiologically. So fat is not just kind of an inert, you know, inactive storage site for extra calories. It actually does have a physiological purpose to keep us alive and keep us functioning the way we should.
Yeah, I mean, suffice it to say that without fat, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to sustain life. Multiple important physiological purposes for fat.
Now, you know, I think, as you mentioned, Dr. Fidwa, a lot of times we're in an environment where we're climate controlled. We have an abundant access to food. So I don't have to go hunting, or I don't have to wait, you know, because this goes live, it's February 8th. And I would dare say if you walked outside in most of North America, you're not going to find fruit or vegetables just lying around. You know, most of what's going to be around is animals, and maybe some roots if you can dig them up. The ground's not frozen, which is not in Alabama at this point, probably, but you're not going to find much veg out there today, and you're going to have to go hunt for it. And sometimes that means traveling a long distance, having the energy to do that, and then having the energy to actually take down a beast and then carry it back to wherever we're hanging out that night. But today we don't have those things. So we don't need to build up a huge amount of extra fuel and warmth and all of those types of things. So from your perspective, what would be a good level of body fat? And does that change based on how old we are, how active we are, or just other functions like how long we want to live?
Yeah, so the recommendations for what would be healthy body fat percentage, anywhere within the range of 8 to mid 20%, in men, and upper teens, low 20s to mid 30s for women. But really and truly, what really good body fat or healthy body fat or appropriate body fat percentage would be is dependent upon the individual, right? So we work with a lot of athletes. And obviously, when we think of athletes are typically lean and have a low percent body fat. But even in the realm of athletics, the range of body fat is really should be to support optimal performance, because this drive for thinness that we've created in our society is really not the best approach, because if too little body fat percentage can have numerous negative consequences as too much body fat percentage. So there is a range, and that range would really depend on where a person is, what their lifestyle is, how old they are. Yes, we tend to gain body fat as we age, but some of that increase is necessary, right? So that increase can actually be a good thing. Now, if it's too much, that's obviously not ideal, because too much body fat is obviously linked to obesity-related disorders like heart disease and some forms of cancer. But there's body fat, but what's really more important than that is fat-free mass, right? So a part of fat-free mass is skeletal muscle and bone density, right? And those things can decrease as well with aging. There's an age-associated decrease in muscle mass and strength, and that's labeled as sarcopenia. And that's not ideal. Exercise is important for preventing that or decreasing the effects of it, right? So, and then osteoporosis, right? So, and those things are actually linked also to low body weight and also low body fat percentage. And so physical activity obviously is going to impact the body composition of an individual. And it will help to keep fat to fat-free mass ratio at an appropriate, healthy level.
So what if I just rocked your world? Okay, check this out. So what if we said that it's not actually, body fat that's the issue? It's actually your fat-free mass or your muscle mass. So when we say your body fat percentage is too high, what we're saying is that for the amount of weight that you have, the percentage of that body weight that is fat is you know, relatively too much, or is, you know, relatively higher than probably what we would want. So when we kind of put that like in real terms, your body fat percentage will never be zero. So you can, the percentage of you that's fat will never be zero. You'll always have some. It will never be 100. And so most of us probably stick somewhere around the teens to 20s to 30s, maybe into the 40s or 50s, you know, 50% fat. But what I think what Dr. Esko is kind of getting at is that the fat-free mass is really important. Some people would argue in our field that if you compare collegiate, you know, elite level athletes, especially in women, the body fat level, the body fat amount that they have in pounds or in kilograms might not be different than non-athletes. The biggest difference is the fat-free mass. It's the muscle mass. And so that makes the percentage of their weight that is fat relatively lower, but the total amount of fat that they have might not actually be that different. So if we shifted the perspective and said, rather than focus on you losing fat, because it'll never go down to 0% fat, what if we just focused on building up that fat-free mass and preserving the bone health, like Dr. Esko kind of talked about, and you know, preserving or maintaining or increasing the muscle mass, which would again drive down the percentage of you that's adipose tissue or body fat. And so that's kind of a cool perspective that I think gets lost a lot of times when we just focus on losing weight and losing fat as like this primary marker of health.
To add to that too, another important point is performance, right? How body composition relates to performance. Let me give you an example. The largest individual that I've ever evaluated body composition on weighed 650 pounds. Right. So it was very large. 50% of his body was fat. So 325 pounds of fat. But he also had 325 pounds of fat-free mass as well. But he could not do one push-up. Right. So there's that muscle quality aspect. It's very important. But on the other hand, the leanest individual, way less than 10%, but barely over 100 pounds. Right. So very little body fat percentage, but as a consequence of an unhealthy body composition, very little fat-free mass. Also, muscle quality was very low.
Yeah. So you answered one question that I think comes up so many times when I'm on the Facebook forums or someone's, should I try to lose the weight first and then start exercising to gain muscle? And my answer is, well, if you're over 35, absolutely not, because you're missing an opportunity, and every year that you don't do something, sarcopenia's biting you in the butt. So start lifting straight away, and that again kind of takes them into that, well, what if I gain weight? Which you may, if you're lifting weights and you're somewhat restricting what you're eating to a point where your body is trying to shed body fat, you could be doing both and either remain the same weight or maybe a little more. But that ratio that you're talking about of lean mass to body fat is moving in the direction you want to move, which is why, again, this Made Health and Fitness app is actually really cool, because it's going to give us some of that data, particularly if we use it consistently and look for trends. Now, one of the other things that comes up a lot, and you know, it happens, if a woman goes into menopause, her hormones shift, and then she starts shifting where she's storing body fat. Men almost always start to store the body fat on their belly before they gain it elsewhere. But people have genetic differences, and it goes different places for different reasons. Why is it important where we store our fat and what that means for our health or performance?
Yeah, so we have two primary distribution patterns. So people usually store extra weight or extra fat in two regions. One of them is the Android region, and this pattern is usually more common in men. And we think of this as the apple shape. So if you store a lot of extra body fat around your midsection, around your belly, a beer belly would kind of be what we just kind of jokingly call it. But we store more extra fat around the midsection. It carries a little bit higher risk for high blood pressure, diet being more of a pear-shaped distribution pattern. if we store more, relatively more body fat kind of in that area, it doesn't carry the same, some people would argue it doesn't carry the same increased risk that fat stored around our midsection does. So that's actually one of the cool things about the app is that because we're marking regionally where people store more adipose tissue or more body fat, we can tell when somebody is storing more of that fat around the midsection, which could potentially put them at a higher risk of certain diseases. And we can tell if somebody's storing more of that body fat kind of around their lower body, their legs, hips, and thighs. And to your point that you kind of just mentioned about losing weight or losing fat and whether I should exercise, you know, to lose the weight first or add the muscle, we jokingly said the other day that we would almost hope people start exercising as part of their New Year's resolution and not see any weight change, you know, like exercise, lift the weights. And I hope honestly that you don't lose any weight because that would tell us, you know, we're possibly adding more muscle, which you could track, and we're possibly losing more, relatively more fat. But independent of any weight or composition changes, you know, eating a healthy diet and, you know, exercising and being physically active carries so many health benefits, you know, outside of those composition changes.
Now, being that I'm 5'11", and then my little brother, one of my brothers, is 5'4", it's not a cool thing when the two of us weigh the same. And so, you know, the term there is not so much just the weight, it's the BMI. So the BMI is a term that's basically meant to adjust for the height of the individual. But even with that, I could tell you that with my muscle mass relative to what I'm supposed to weigh at 5'11", I'm not 178 pounds, I'm closer to about 205. But, you know, my BMI as a function of that puts me right into the obese category. And I stay there all year round. And I, you know, because I keep muscle mass and I don't lose the body fat, I kind of look at BMI as valuable, but not also valuable that it would be the only thing that I would look at. It's a number, it's a piece of data. And quite frankly, it's not the best piece of data. Like you said, knowing what our body fat percentage is, knowing what our lean mass is, that those are better. There are a lot of tools out on the market, some better than others. Could you talk about the various ways that someone can get their numbers and the pros and cons of each?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, really, we think body fat, like how to measure body fat percentage, and although that's important, body fat is just a component of what body composition. So body composition is the relative proportion of fat and fat-free mass that make up one's body weight. So though body weight kind of gets a bad rap, you know, we don't want to focus too much on the scale, but it is important. It's an important value. And you're right. If someone's shorter than you, typically if there's the same weight, well, that may not be ideal for the other person, because BMI, what BMI is, it's just it's the most popular body composition assessment tool. It's one of the simplest. Before our app, I think our app is even simpler. But what that is just a ratio of height to weight. So it gives us an idea of I guess, ideal weight to one's height. And so BMI is used to classify obesity by, major organizations like World Health Organization. And typically obesity is considered with a BMI of 30 or greater. But what BMI does not do, it does not evaluate body fat percentage. So if a BMI of 30 does not equate to 30% body fat, like a lot of people may think, it's actually the units or kilograms of body weight over height in meters squared. So even though a BMI may be 30 or greater, it doesn't necessarily mean that that person has high body fat percentage. So if we have somebody that we assess BMI on and they're sedentary, and their BMI is greater than 30, typically that person is highly likely that they're also obese. However, if we take BMI of our competitive football team, you know, and the running backs or whatnot, and athletes typically have higher BMI that technically would be considered obese, but they're quite lean because they have a lot of muscle mass that makes their body weight greater. So to get more accurate, we would measure body fat percentage and fat-free mass. We would actually evaluate those body composition parameters. And the only way to do that is with techniques that that we have available in our lab, which is typically, like you mentioned, DEXA. That DEXA is a considered a gold standard. It's an X-ray device that will measure, scan the body, and it'll measure body fat percentage and muscle mass. It's the gold standard for measuring bone mineral density as well. There's underwater weighing technique where a person gets in a tank of water, and how much water they displace is related to their body fat percentage. And those techniques are typically found in a laboratory, and though they're accurate and sophisticated, they're very expensive to have the equipment, and it requires like a technician to know how to use those and deliver those as well. So they're not easily accessible, right? So there are field methods like the pinch and inch, the skin fold technique, which is a very popular technique to measure body fat among fitness in the fitness community. The problem with that is it requires a period of time to be trained to know how to do that appropriately. And there's not good agreement across technicians as well. There's the bioimpedance technique, which is there are many different bioimpedance devices. There's the old handheld hand-to-hand BIA devices. And then there's the fancier scales that we can see in some retail stores where the foot-to-foot. And then there's more sophisticated bioimpedance devices. And those typically have a range of error that can get really accurate the more expensive and sophisticated they are. But usually the more common ones are not very accurate. And then there's, of course, our tool that we have recently created that measures body fat percentage and body composition from a single 2D picture.
I'll actually follow up too, just to obesity. I think it's a very valuable tool. Like we measure body mass index on every research participant that comes in. It's a measure. It's a tool. It's a marker that we can use to identify people who may be at risk for, you know, additional kind of obesity related kind of unfavorable health consequences. I don't think for population trends that it should just be completely thrown out. I think we've seen in the States, we've seen about a 25 or 30 pound increase in the average body weight since 1960. I think we've seen about a half a kilogram per meter squared increase in BMI at the population level since, you know, the 70s and 80s. And so, you know, if you look back over the past 60 or some odd years, we are getting heavier. And I think those data are so valuable to track population trends to show us that, you know, as a global society worldwide, we are not going in a very favorable direction. And there are certain groups that are disproportionately affected by obesity and a lot of the health related consequences. So I don't think that it should just be completely thrown out. But to your point, measuring the individual progress and finding the differences between, you know, two people that may be the same height and the same weight, but different genders, same height, same weight, but different races, same height, same weight, but different ages. I think BMI, to measure and account for those individual differences, I think misses that. And so I think, you know, our technique and the app, I think the individual just deserves better. I think that there's a more accurate way now with the advances in technology to measure and track changes in composition rather than relying solely on weight on a scale. Because I think some of the improvements that we see are just missed.
Yeah. Next week, I'm going to have Dr. Ian Smith on to talk about his book, Mind Over Weight. And he has a pretty neat spin on goal setting. And one of the things that he talks about with goal setting is to focus on more than one goal. You know, you may want weight to be one of your goals. You may want to be able to fit in a certain pair of jeans or a certain dress, and that's all good. But I actually think knowing your body composition is another core measurement that would be really good for you to track if getting lighter, if losing some body fat is what you're after, and making sure you're maintaining your muscle mass. You know, there are a lot of tools out there. A DEXA scan is going to run you at least $100, maybe $150, depending on where you go. There are little places popping up here and there where you can go pay for a plan and they'll do a DEXA scan once a quarter, once every 6 months, whatever you choose. And you can see that trend. And the water, I've never actually done the water test, the submersion test before. And I can tell you, yeah, having worked with calipers and trying to do the 7 skin fold locations and do it the same every time and get the same result is It's not fun. And bioimpedance does have this huge error rate, depending on how hydrated you are or, you know, time of day that you're doing it. So what I like about your tool is it's in my hand because it's on my phone. And it adds just one more tool in there for me to have some data quickly and easily, as quickly and easily as taking a picture of myself. Now someone's gonna have to take a picture of me because it can't just be a selfie, you know, with the duck lips and all of that. But there's a certain way I have to pose. And so someone's gonna have to take the picture. I'm gonna have to dress a certain way. But can you tell me a little bit about how the Made Health and Fitness app is used and what it does for us?
Yeah, absolutely. You actually can take a selfie. It's just a different type of selfie. So the image is scanned and we analyze total body composition. So the image itself, you download the app, you set up your profile. We're going to ask you some basic information about your height and your weight and your age and race and gender. That allows us to create a measure of body composition that's tailored directly to you that can account for the small kind of age-related changes in composition that we usually see, you know, the small differences between different race and ethnic groups, small differences between men and women. It kind of allows us to create a really accurate number that's tailored specifically to you based on your image. Once your profile is set up, the image can be scanned and analyzed in about 15 or 20 seconds. We have a few checks when a person is taking a scan just to make sure that it has the best quality and the most accurate results. So the image has to be from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. If part of you is missing or cut off, as the image is being scanned for the landmarks that we need, some of them could potentially be missing, and so the numbers we'll get will be a little bit inaccurate. Feet together, arms out, a lot of the landmarks that we're scanning for on the image are on the trunk, and so some of them we need to pinpoint the narrowest part of your waist and the widest point of your hips. So potentially if your arms are too close to your midsection, we might miss those landmarks and accidentally misclassify. Snugly fitting athletic clothing, like an Under Armour shirt or a compression shirt. If you feel comfortable in sports bra or going shirtless, that's completely fine. Leggings, yoga pants, compression shorts, boxer briefs, those are completely fine also. What we really need to, again, since we want to find the most accurate kind of picture of you that shows your true body shape, anything with baggy clothing that might kind of misrepresent what your true figure looks like would potentially introduce some error. So other than that, I mean, the image scanning itself is pretty straightforward. I usually take my phone, honestly, and set it up on a coffee table and prop it up against a coffee cup and making sure that, you know, every image and every scan that I take is at the same height. It's in the same room. It's with the same lighting. If you don't have access to a research lab, like most of us don't at home, you can just kind of use whatever you have around the house to take the image. I set my phone for a 10-second timer and take a selfie that way. So I have a record of the image saved on my phone. Once it's uploaded to the app, like I said, it takes about 10 or 15 seconds to scan and analyze, and you get your results instantly. From there, you can send them to a trainer. If you're working remotely, you can export them to an email or to a text message. The image goes completely away, so it's not stored in the app. We don't keep the images in a database. We wanted to do that for privacy and confidentiality reasons, so you don't need to worry about any images of you in your underwear getting out on the internet. They go completely away. The only place that they would ever exist would be on your own personal phone if you saved it to your camera roll or to your device. The only thing that we see in the database are your numbers. And so we use that, again, one of the reasons why we ask your age and your gender and your race. We want the app to be used to create the biggest database of normative values that has ever been created. And so we want, you know, if we have somebody who's 45 and female and Hispanic, we want to have the most accurate normed data to show them to say, here, this is what you should be, or this is what somebody your age, this is kind of where most of the people in the population are. This is kind of healthier. This is kind of not so healthy. This is where most people who look and act and behave just like you that have all the same characteristics. And I think all of those data, because of, you know, we're not limited to the issues with transportation or cost or scheduling and access to the different techniques. I think that we definitely are positioned to do that. And I think we can make a big difference on shaping and reshaping some of our norms and expectations of what healthy actually is. And then I'll actually let Esko jump in a little bit more and talk about kind of the functions of the app and how it works.
Yeah. So like Dr. Theta was said, it's the simplest device on the market now for measuring body composition. All this requires is just a picture of a person standing, which is you know, easy to do. We don't have to worry about being trained to do the skin fold or trained to use a DEXA or anything else. And a person can do it right in the privacy of their own home. And there's a lot of barriers associated with going into a fitness center or related facility and having your body composition measured and having to let a fit professional in on how much you weigh and all very personal numbers. Well, there's no need to even worry about any of that. Person can do it right themselves and again, in their home. But it's also very accurate. Dr. Fido and I, this is our area. We've been doing research in body composition for years. We have PhDs in physiology, and this is what we decided to focus our career on is body composition and discovering techniques that are accurate and user-friendly. And this is what we've created. We've shown that it's near perfect agreement with underwater weigh-in and DEXA and those other laboratory measures that we talked about. So even if somebody were to go and have routine DEXA scans, they can still use our device for more routine, more weekly, more frequent scans for body composition. So they don't have to wait months down the road to see if there's actual changes in body composition. They can make decisions earlier by using our app in addition to some of those more sophisticated measures is if they choose to do so. So it's the most user-friendly technique, and of the field of tools that are out there, it's one of the more accurate methods.
We wanted to have something too. Esko mentioned tracking trends. We wanted to have something that you could use on your phone that you had access to all the time, that you can do it for less than a cup of coffee. And so when, every time that you would normally weigh in to track progress, we would say, hey man, why don't you take a picture also, right? So you can put some context around those changes if they're happening on the scale. So we, over the holidays, we were, as a group of the co-founders, jokingly tracking all of our changes in composition. And we were seeing, ups and downs, swings in body weight. We would be up 5 pounds one day. We would be down 6 pounds the next day. And most of that is just due to water weight. It's just due to fluid retention. Alcohol, really salty foods, different types of foods will cause you to hold more water weight or less water weight. Menstrual cycle for female users, we have changes in body weight. Most of that is fluid. And so the cool thing about the app is that with, a single picture, if you weigh yourself and you say, oh my gosh, I'm 6 pounds heavier than I was yesterday, what the heck is going on? You can take a picture and do a scan and see that about 95% of that is fluid. It's fat-free mass. And so that puts context around the changes in the scale that you're seeing. You can go, oh man, I gained 6 pounds, but that's okay because most of it is fluid. And, we can account for some of those ups and downs from day to day when we're looking at the big trends over time, where if you're, just relying on two measurements with a DEXA every 6 months, those small changes and, those small improvements, a lot of times are overlooked. You could be up or down on a given day and scan with a DEXA and maybe not show any progress, but we can show those really small changes over time to get a better idea of kind of what's working maybe, and maybe what's not if you're working with a trainer.
Information is powerful, data is powerful, especially if you act on it.
Yeah, especially from a distance too. So for a professional like yourself, Alan, working with clients that live in different parts of the world, well, this device is useful for tracking changes in the, clients that you're working with. And so we wanted it to be for individual use, but also for professionals like yourself, and practitioners, as well as in the lab and research.
Yeah, we wanted it to be, we never wanted to replace the trainer. We don't want to replace the practitioner with the app. So we were very specific with the way that it was designed. So we don't give any dietary recommendations in the app. We don't provide any exercise programming or prescriptions within the app. We want this to be a tool, like you mentioned, and like you'll talk about next week on the program, is that the more data you have, the more accurately you can track progress. And sometimes from week to week, you may not see any progress if you're just focusing on one specific metric. So what can we look at? If we're not seeing weight loss, did we see changes in, fat-free mass, or did we see changes in fat mass? Did we see changes in android or gynoid fat? Did we see an improvement there if our total body fat percentage didn't change? Did we hit our water goal? Did we hit our steps goal? Did we hit our sleep goal? I mean, you guys as the practitioners and the experts who are kind of out there doing this in the field, the more information that you can, you know, get your hands on to coach and train and kind of guide your clients through their fitness journey, I think the better. And so we just want to be one of the assessment tools for you to kind of track your progress in your users and in your clients. And so I think we want to let the coaching be done by the coaches. We want to let the training be done by the trainers, and we just want to be there to kind of help.
So Dr. Esko, I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are three strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
Well, one is to be intentional of living a healthy lifestyle, right? Eating an appropriate diet, and, you know, staying active and exercising, working towards staying positive. Well, all those things require work. They're not just given to somebody, you know, right? So it takes work to establish those habits. And the person has to be intentional in making that habit happen. You know, and you mentioned making goals. So the second point is to make goals. It's very important to have something to strive for, but not being so focused on one specific goal related to like body composition. Very important to have an appropriate goal for what's healthy in terms of fat-free mass and healthy body weight. But more important than that is overall performance. Having other fitness-related goals, you know, running a 5K or having some sort of other fitness-related feat. Those things are very important, so we have something that we can strive for, right? And then the third thing I think is the most important of all is to be patient, you know, with especially in the world of body composition where the scale is so easily accessible and our app is very accessible. We're tempted to make frequent assessments, right? And that's, we want to see changes immediately, which just doesn't really work that way. We have to be patient. If we're doing the right things, we're eating appropriately, we're being physically active, the goals will be achieved, but it's going to take some time.
Thank you. Dr. Fidwa, I'll ask you the same question. I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are three strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
Yeah, I think those, the more advice that you can get and you know, the better. I think probably the most important one that Esko didn't mention, I guess as the team, I'd put this at number four, is to remember that you probably will fail and you will see setbacks and it's okay to have those, especially, you know, if you are focusing on starting a new exercise program or, you know, changing the way that you're eating or focusing on losing weight, there will be, you know, huge improvements and there will also be some pretty big setbacks. And so to remember that it's a long journey. If you're focusing on, you know, losing fat, it didn't all happen and come on overnight. So it won't disappear overnight either. So there will be ups and downs and twists and turns and to just be patient. So remember that it's okay to have setbacks and you just get up the next day and start all over and knock it out. I think the second most important thing that I used, on my own journey was to think like a healthy person and act like a healthy person. And so, you know, I don't think starvation or completely cutting out food groups is healthy. I don't think exercising, you know, 7 hours a day is necessarily healthy. But if you start asking yourself, is it okay to eat a cookie? Yes, it's okay to eat a cookie. A healthy person would eat a cookie. A cookie is fine. It's probably not okay to eat an entire box of cookies. Cool, right? Is it okay to have a beer or a glass of wine every now and then? Yeah, absolutely. Is it okay to have 10? No, probably not. A healthy person may not do that. And so I think that allows you a little bit of flexibility and a little bit of wiggle room because healthy people are not perfect people. They just tend to make healthier decisions more often than not. And so I think that flexibility helps. And I think tracking, you know, is one of the most important things that you can do. And we've seen with some of our research participants, you know, just the act of tracking the number of steps per day that you take is enough to increase your physical activity level by about 10% just because you're monitoring it and you're constantly aware of it. Same thing with calories or sugar, you know, or water intake. It's about a 10% change. Just if you're watching it and you're thinking about it and you're tracking it, it's enough to restrict energy intake or calorie intake or increase your water intake. And it's about a 10% swing. So you know, if you're not tracking, you can't see change. So get a baseline, measure, monitor, and then kind of see what happens over time. And the more data that you collect, you know, the better you can gauge your progress and figure out what's working for you.
Thank you. Now, if someone wanted to learn more about the Made Health and Fitness app or the thing you got, things you guys are doing over there at the University of Alabama, where would you like for me to send them?
Yeah, our website for the app is mymadeapp.com. So mymadeapp.com. And then to find us in the Google Play and Apple app stores, search the phrase Made Health and Fitness. So in terms of our work with the University of Alabama, we would encourage anyone to check our personal websites out by searching our names, either Michael Esko or Michael Fidua, the University of Alabama, and we work in the Department of Kinesiology.
Yeah, we have all of our research papers are up on our faculty websites. We have links to our research papers on social media for the app. If you guys want to check those out, it's Made Health and Fitness on Instagram and Facebook. We're on Twitter too. So, you know, as more research comes out of the lab, as we have, you know, conference abstracts and presentations and new research papers are published and presented, we will post those. We'll post those. We also have links to all their research within the app. There's a button that says see the science behind the app. We want the users to be completely confident that the numbers that they're getting are research grade. And so we want to get the research data out there. We want to get the accuracy out there. So people can be confident with how they're tracking and what they're measuring.
You can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/472, and I'll be sure to have those links there. So Dr. Esko, Dr. Fidua, thank you so much for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us. I can't wait to come back.
Absolutely.
Welcome back, Russ.
Hey, hold on one second while I download this app real quick.
Yeah, the app's called Made Health App. And, you know, there's a lot of benefits to this thing. I am a big fan of data. And I'm not a huge fan of apps, as I mentioned earlier. But data is a big thing. And the thing that they've come up with, they've got two studies that I read. And both of them showed improvements in performance when people lose body fat. Now, they're talking about athletes in college. Mm-hmm. Female athletes in particular, but still the women lost some body fat and they performed better. They had more power and they had more stamina. So if you're a runner or someone who, you know, wants to play better tennis, this is something. If you lose a little bit of body fat, even if you don't have much to lose, there mm-hmm. can be some performance improvement. And then of course, for the vast majority of us that do want to just get rid of some body fat, this is a good way to track that you're being successful, and it's a lot cheaper than almost all of the other alternatives out there because it's
fantastic.
Free.
That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. And there's other metrics. I mean, it sounds like they capture a lot of data in their app.
They do. I mean, you know, what they're doing basically is you're supposed to stand and allow them to take a full frontal picture. You know, they call it the anatomically correct, although they don't have the thumbs pointing in the right direction, but that doesn't matter. I'm just the personal trainer and they just used a term and I'm like, that's not, well, okay, but if then whatever. Okay. They just basically want your arms slightly away from your body. So it's not messing with the, you know, with the measurements. And then they're just looking at those measurements as far as how wide we are going from top to bottom. And then the other data that they have is your height and your age and your ethnicity. And that gives them an opportunity then to put that all into an algorithm and calculate a number. And based on the data that they show, they're really close to the water submersion test. So, you know, that the Bod Pod uses air. There's a water dunking version that basically looks at your body mass and determines how much water you offset. And both of those are reasonably good, particularly if you're looking at trends. The lesser good ones are the caliper tests, which, you know, if you go into a personal trainer, a lot of them will do that to try to give you some body fat. But those are subject to human error, subject to human error. And they're hard. They're hard to do without a ton and ton of practice. And then there's the bioimpedance, like the scales or the handhelds, and they tend to flaw, you know, significantly. Like if you're dehydrated or the next day you are hydrated, that can swing things crazy. And if you're heavier than they think you should be, again, they err on the side of saying it's body fat, because most of the people that are using them are trying to get rid of body fat. So, you know, all these things are good if you're looking at general trends. They get better. The gold standard is the DEXA scan. Because the DEXA scan is going to measure bone density, it's going to measure water, it's going to measure muscle mass, it's going to measure fat. It doesn't back into a calculation, you know. So it's not a calculation. It's basically calculus. They're cutting little swipes through you to and looking at the density in various parts of your body to give you an idea. And while a DEXA scan can tell you exactly how much body fat you have in each part of your body, this is just going to give you a general idea of where you carry most of your body fat.
That's helpful. That's very helpful information.
It is. It is. It's good for trends. Now, you know, I'm not a fan of weight, but I know that everybody's going to be stepping on the scale because it's a cost-effective way to know that at least if you're losing body fat, you're probably losing weight. So it gives you an indication that what you're doing is working. But it also measures other things like water, muscle, bone, brain, you know, things like that, that you kind of need. And you don't want to just get rid of, because, you know, the brain weighs a kilogram and a half. You know, you still want to get rid of that just to weigh less. There's my 5 pounds. you know, so this app measures, but I actually did a little guide. It's been years ago, but I'll re-release it. If you go to the show notes, I'll have a link, and it's called the 7 Health and Fitness Measures That Matter. And basically, there's just other things that if you're really concerned in doing this for your health, you should also be paying attention to this data. Okay. And I don't think I actually put body fat on that guide. And the only reason I probably didn't put body fat on there is because there is a cost, a bigger cost to go down to get a DEXA scan, or, you know, maybe go to a university where they would have one of those submersion tanks, or a bod pod, which uses air. So, you know, there are these other ways that you can do it. This is going to be a cheap and easy way for you to measure, you know, an approximation of your body fat and where you're carrying it. And then, you know, these other health and fitness measures that I'll put in this guide are just kind of other things for you to consider as you're monitoring your health and fitness. Because one of the things that I found is, you know, maybe you have a week where your body weight didn't go down, but your A1C did, or your blood sugar, your resting blood sugar in the morning, you wake up and it's finally below 100, you know, that kind of thing. That matters a lot more than a pound less on the scale. And so these are the kind of things that I think you really should be focused on as you're going through this. And yes, you're going to also do weight, because it's just easy. But if you want that guide, just go to the show notes, 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/472. And I'll be sure to have that link there. The Made Health app is free. It's supposed to be free. When I actually did the interview, it wasn't quite free back then. But it's supposed to be free now. And, you know, they're concerned about privacy. So they're very clear with you up front. They're not going to keep the pictures that you're taking to do this measurement. They're going to take the data from the picture that they need. They're going to wipe the picture, and they never even hits their database. And then they're just going to get the data, and you're going to get the results. So
that sounds awesome.
So, you know, I think the only other thing that I'd put out there is you're probably reading a lot in the press lately, because, you know, things come around and go around, and, you know, we'll go through a cycle of fat shaming. You know, people say, okay, you can't fat shame. It's okay to be the size that you are. And I adamantly agree with that. There's no reason to feel shame for where you are.
Yes.
You can't recover if you don't forgive yourself. So everything that's good in your life, if you're going to move away from something bad, you have to forgive yourself for being in that situation so you can look hopeful into the future. And so I agree fat shaming is a problem, but the articles that are coming out now are scientific based, and they're clear. If you're carrying extra body fat, it's not healthy. There is no healthy fat. There is no fit fat. If you're carrying extra body weight, it's not good for your health. And you know, in a lot of cases, it's also not good for you in general, because it's, you know, it's wearing on your joints. A lot of times that extra weight is also at a cost of inflammation.
Yes.
So there's other things going on in your body physically, beyond just your heart health and your, you know, risk of stroke and risk of diabetes and those types of things. So if you are dealing with excess body fat, this is a tool. You know, this Made Health app is a tool. You should check it out.
That sounds great. Yeah. As a former weight obsessed or scale obsessed person, I like that there's other metrics to follow. The scale is not the most important measurement of health. And just like you said, and I'm sure in your guidebook that you'll share, I mean, I go to the doctor, I have my blood drawn, cholesterol, A1C, you know, there's a lot going on inside that doesn't reflect necessarily what my outside looks like. So there's a lot of other indicators of health.
Yes. Yes, there are.
That are much more important.
All right. Well, Rachel, it's been a good week. I hope to talk to you next week.
Yes. Take care.
You too.
Thanks.
Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Dr. Ian K. Smith and discuss his book, Mind Over Weight, Curb Cravings, Find Motivation, and Hit Your Number in 7 Simple Steps. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.